You are tuned in to the CU Insight Trendline, the credit union industry's podcast for the latest perspectives, shifts, and key content to keep you informed and ahead. I'm Greg Micklig, President and CEO at CUinsight.com, here to bring you the trends shaping our industry every other week, all in under 15 minutes. Let's track the trend. Welcome to this episode of the CU Insight Trendline Podcast. We have a lot of great information and outstanding guests packed into this episode, and I don't want to keep you from any of that, so let's jump right in.
I'm John Pettit, and these are my top three trending articles on CU Insight. And number three this week is an article titled, Authorized Doesn't Mean Safe, The Rise of Credit Push Fraud, from I2C's Matthew Pierce. Credit push fraud is forcing credit unions to rethink fraud strategy because members are authorizing the payments themselves, often after being manipulated by scams. That means detecting fraud after the transaction is often too late. The real risk moment now happens before the payment is sent, pushing credit unions toward real-time prevention, behavioral analysis, and member guidance built directly into the experience. In a real-time payments world, trust is built or lost before the transaction is complete. Number two this week is Three Leadership Habits That Drive Consistent Growth in Credit Unions, from Strum's Amber Herman. Credit unions already have the data. The challenge now is turning that data into action that actually improves the member experience. Amber's article argues that growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from using insight more intentionally. The strongest organizations build thinkers, not just executors, create focus instead of complexity, and use data to deliver more personal, relevant experiences. In today's environment, the credit unions that grow will be the ones that consistently connect insight to action in ways that make members feel understood. Stay tuned later in the episode for my number one article.
Two strong articles right there, John. Thank you for sharing those. And now let's go to Alyssa Horwitz for a credit union spotlight.
In our latest CU Spotlight, we're highlighting Volt Credit Union and an innovative partnership helping students build confidence in their financial futures. In 2024, Volt partnered with Springfield Public Schools to open the Hillcrest High School branch, the first student-run high school credit union branch of its kind in Missouri. Supported by a CDRLF grant, the branch gives students hands-on financial experience while expanding access to financial education. Student interns play an active role in the branch's day-to-day operations. Under staff supervision, interns assist members, help open accounts, support financial education efforts, and develop valuable professional and leadership skills along the way. Volt also launched a freshman financial education program focused on practical topics like budgeting, fraud awareness, debit card use, and avoiding fees, helping students build healthy financial habits early. Volt's partnership with Hillcrest extends far beyond the branch itself, from collaborating with student organizations to launching co-branded debit cards that give back to the school community with every swipe. The credit union continues to invest in long-term impact both in and outside the classroom. As the program continues to grow, Volt Credit Union hopes its model will inspire similar partnerships across Missouri. By combining financial education, real-world experience, and community engagement, Volt is helping students gain the confidence and life skills needed for long-term financial success. CU Spotlight features credit unions that are making significant impacts in their communities. If your credit union has an inspiring story to share, be sure to reach out to content@CUinsight.com.
The CU Insight Trendline is brought to you with support from the following CU Insight collaborators. This September, credit union leaders are heading to Washington, D.C. for America's Credit Union's Congressional Caucus. This is where advocacy meets action. It's our chance to engage lawmakers shaping the financial services landscape. Join us September 13th through the 15th for 3 days of advocacy impact. Register today and save $200 at americascreditunions.org/caucus.
Looking to sharpen your leadership skills, build stronger teams, and level up your credit union? CUES delivers the gold standard in leadership development. Top-tier programs, conferences, online learning, and resources for every stage of your career. Visit cues.org/membership to learn more.
Mentorship has long been an important factor in the growth of professionals within the credit union space. The National Association of Latino Credit Unions and Professionals has a six-month mentorship program that pairs credit union professionals with seasoned leaders for one-on-one guidance and monthly group sessions. I had the opportunity to speak with Barbara Mojica, the executive director of NLCUP, on this topic and the importance of mentorship. Barbara, thank you for spending a little bit of time with me. I was curious what mentorship means to you and how is the Latino version of it different, if at all?
Thank you for that question, Greg, and thank you for having me today. Mentorship to me really means that you are able to bring the vulnerable piece of professionalism in a way that feels safe, that feels intentional, and that allows you to grow with that vulnerability and put it to practice at work. From a Latino perspective, I think mentorship is actually crucial for the Latino community, especially Latino professionals in the industry. As a first-time generation person myself, I feel like I would have not gotten this far without the mentorship of others and the way they have poured onto me. Having the ability to have mentors as a Latina has meant for me that I'm able to ask really hard questions, not just of people, but of myself, reflect back on those and see how can I put my experience into a business case almost, right? And so making sure that people understand what it means to be Latino in this country, but also making people feel comfortable with your Latinidad, you know? And so, yeah, I think in a short way, that is what mentorship really means to me. And I've been very blessed to have very great mentors in the industry.
That's a really insightful answer, and I appreciate the authenticity within that answer as well. You had mentioned your first generation, and if someone else is listening right now and they're the first in their family to pursue their dream, what do you want them to hear?
Well, I'm still practicing this, so I'm gonna tell the audience to take it with a grain of salt, but you know, it's okay to make mistakes along the way. Those mistakes will not define your entire career. I think as a first-generation immigrant and first-generation Latina and daughter, I've always felt the pressure of achieving perfection almost, and ensuring that I don't make mistakes so that my family can be proud and also safe, you know. But I have made them. And those things sometimes I'm not proud of, but they have. Later on down the road, especially now that I'm in an executive role, I have realized that those mistakes were necessary for the growth that I've been able to do, you know, at the age of 32. And again, that's very hard for our community, especially first generation folks, and not just in the Latino community, just first generation period. But yeah, be comfortable with making those mistakes. And tying it back to mentorship, this is where your mentor can come in and you can discuss how you've made those mistakes again in a safe space, in a safe environment, and trust that that mentor will give you the advice necessary to continue pushing forward. And then I think there's a lot to this question, but the second piece I want to remind folks is that don't give up, you know. I think we have so many hurdles for us as first generation folks. And again, this is not, it's not just applicable to Latinos. I think a lot of folks can be first generations. We have a lot of things going sometimes against us, but being able to not give up and be strategic about your professional development can really aid. And I think in the industry, we're in such a great industry where, you know, around the credit union movement, CEOs and executives value professional development for their staff. So take advantage of those opportunities.
I think that growth mindset that you have and that you've shared is really important. And as you were speaking, I was thinking
about your transparency around making mistakes. And really, we all make mistakes. And I think one of the biggest mistakes you can make is not to acknowledge the fact that you have made mistakes, and to not take that as an opportunity to grow.
Yes, I agree. It's okay to make mistakes. I'm practicing that myself as I speak.
Well, very good. This has been good information for us. I know that you are doing a lot through NLCUP for mentoring young professionals and Latinos, and we greatly appreciate the partnership that you have with us here at CU Insight. And I thank you for joining me on the CU Insight Trendline podcast.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much.
For more information on the National Association of Latino Credit Unions and Professionals, visit nlcup.org. That's NLCUP.org. Now here's John Pettit with our top trending article.
Welcome back. My number one article trending on CU Insight is Stuck Credit Unions Have a Lending Problem, from your credit union partner, Scott Butterfield. Scott's article makes the case that many credit unions are trying to solve too many problems at once, when the real path to growth is focus, especially around lending. Using the story of Ironworkers USA Federal Credit Union, Scott argues that credit unions grow when they stop being overly conservative, lean into disciplined risk-based lending, and intentionally serve credit-challenged members. The strongest performers don't avoid risk, they manage it better, using lending as both a mission strategy and a revenue engine. The core message is simple. Stop trying to do everything and become exceptional at the one thing that drives both member impact and sustainable growth. I recently asked Scott, what are the biggest operational or cultural mistakes credit unions make when trying to expand into non-prime lending? And how can leadership tell the difference between disciplined risk-taking and simply taking on too much risk?
The biggest mistake I see is a culture that sends mixed signals. Leaderships will say they want to grow non-prime lending, they'll send staff to training, they'll talk about it in board meetings, but then the leaders come back to an environment that quietly pushes them from taking any risk. And that culture shapes judgment in ways people don't even recognize. Here's a challenge I'd put to every credit union leader. Take your denied loans, the ones that you've looked through, you just can't do, and then reach out, hand them to an experienced lender from another credit union, a peer credit union, someone that you believe is a high-performing risk-based lending institution, someone who lives and breathes risk-based lending every day. My bet is that they'd find loans in that pile that could have been approved safely, not because your team is incompetent, but because if your environment is risk-averse, your lenders will be too. That's not a people problem. That's a leadership and a culture problem. The second mistake is treating non-prime lending as something you bolt on rather than something you build into your culture, your underwriting philosophy, and your strategic plan. It has to be intentional, with defined portfolio targets, appropriate pricing, and board-level support. Without that foundation, you're not managing risk, you're just guessing. And that brings me to how leadership can tell the difference between disciplined risk-based lending is simply taking on too much risk. Disciplined risk-taking means you know your members. You understand their financial realities, you price appropriately, and your underwriting is built around context, not just the credit scores. Your best-performing credit unions I work with carry 20 to 30% non-prime in their portfolios. That's not reckless, it's intentional. Compare that to institutions sitting at 10% non-prime, earning compressed loan yields and wondering why their ROA is stuck. The answer usually isn't that they're being prudent, it's that they've confused risk aversion with risk management. And those are two very different things. Finally, in the article, the Ironworkers USA Federal Credit Union story makes this point well. They didn't avoid risk, they learned how to manage it. And they grew from under $10 million in assets in 2010 to over $160 million today by leaning in with intention and discipline. That's the distinction every credit union leader needs to be able to make and defend in the boardroom.
Thanks, Scott. That's all for my top three trending articles on CU Insight.
Thank you, John. And thank you to all who tuned in for this episode of the CU Insight Trendline. The team and I will be back next time with more trending updates to keep you informed and ahead of the curve. Until then, we'll keep tracking the trend.